Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It cannot be easy for a politician to propose charging commuters more money to enter Manhattan. But the mayor's plan is sound, and the mayor's plan will work.
That's U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters in New York yesterday, endorsing Mayor Bloomberg's congestion pricing proposal and practically promising to give New York $500 million if the state legislature approves the plan by mid-August. Congestion pricing involves an $8 a day charge for cars entering Manhattan below 86th Street, if you didn't know, $21 for trucks, minus the cost of any tolls on the way in. Governor Spitzer's down with it too now after having been on the fence.
If we are going to create a central business district that has both the mobility, the air quality, and a mass transportation system that is sufficient for our needs, this is a necessary part of getting there.
There is still a lot of opposition, though, from the four other boroughs and suburban counties. As we speak, Mayor Bloomberg is getting ready to testify before a hearing of the state legislature in Albany. This does require state legislative approval. And in a few minutes, we will speak with Richard Brodsky, assemblyman from Westchester, who's likely to be one of the mayor's toughest questioners at that hearing. But joining us first this morning in support of the plan is Catherine Wild, president and CEO of the business group, the Partnership for New York City. Catherine, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning, Brian.
First of all, why do you think the governor got off the fence?
Why do I think the governor got off the fence? Well, yeah. I'm not sure the governor was on the fence. I think that the...
Well, he didn't come out right away like some other politicians. He said, well, I want to take a look at this. And now he says he has.
Yeah, I think the questions about, again, about the whole plan were issues that the governor had to look at. It's a 140-page piece of legislation that includes many other elements besides congestion pricing. Congestion pricing has gotten a lot of attention.
You mean the mayor's whole Plan YC 2030 environmental strategy and quality of life strategy, as he calls it, Plan YC 2030.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so I think that... the congestion pricing piece of it was one where, in fact, the governor, number one, said he wanted to understand the details and how it would be implemented, and number two, is interested in how it affects the MTA, which is a state agency, the MTA's ability to prioritize capital projects and where the funding will go to that is generated by congestion pricing. There's a commitment the funding will go to transportation. The mayor's plan suggests setting up a new authority that would set priorities and respond to priorities to spend this money. And, of course, that is... potentially competitive with the MTA and state role in that function.
Yeah, now that was interesting to me yesterday from the governor's statement. It seems like he's saying, yeah, I'm going to support this, but I want the money. That is, I want the money for the state-run MTA. Do you think the mayor and the governor have made some kind of deal around that now?
Well, I think there's universal agreement. Congestion pricing is an important and necessary tool for two reasons. One, to give us relief from traffic, which is costing New York more than $13 billion a year in added cost of doing business and cost to consumers. But number two, it is congestion pricing is important as a new source of revenue to improve and expand our mass transit so the city can continue to grow. And as you know, we have severe limitations in that area. And we don't really we have a funding gap of about $30 billion in necessary capital funding for projects. So I think there's agreement on those two items, and obviously the prerogatives of what the state versus the city do becomes a question that I think when you agree on the big picture can be worked out and is being worked out.
Listeners, we can take your congestion pricing calls from Manhattan below 86th Street, Manhattan above 86th Street, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, the Bronx, Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, or New Jersey, 212-433-WNYC, or Connecticut, 212-433-9692. For Catherine Wild, President and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, or email brianlehrershow@WNYC.org, or post a comment on our webpage. Why do you think the Bush administration also seems to be smiling on this and ready to throw $500 million at it? Why doesn't the Republican philosophy come down on this as a tax?
Well, because the in fact, it's not a tax. This is a fee. It's called value pricing, and this is using our capitalist market system so that those who use resources are paying for them. Right now, the people who are most harmed by traffic congestion are people sitting on a bus stuck in traffic. They agree to take mass transit, but their buses can't move through the city. This is whereas people who are driving cars are creating this a problem and clogging the streets.
Let me jump in on one of the things that you just said, because this is an interesting source of discussion. Is it a tax or isn't a tax? Is it a market system or is it not a market system? One could argue that if it was a market system, then it wouldn't be the government imposing a fee. If it was a market system and it just got too crowded in Manhattan below 86th Street, then people in and of themselves would choose not to drive, or it would be, or the market for various reasons, parking or whatever, as it does, would make it too expensive to drive in Manhattan. So is there a difference between the market setting a price and the government setting a price?
Well, obviously, the market sets a price on parking. 37% of the vehicles that drive into Manhattan, of the cars that come into Manhattan every day, people coming into work, 37% are government workers. Because they have free parking or parking placards, the market system isn't working for them. Market systems work on the tolled tunnels and bridges. For example, you can move quickly through the Battery Tunnel because you pay a toll. You're stalled if you try and go over the free Brooklyn Bridge. So the market system, in terms of, mm-hmm. is working with pricing. But in the absence of pricing, we've surveyed people who drive into Manhattan.
Kathy, I'm going to jump in on you here for a minute, because the mayor has started his testimony at this legislative hearing in Albany, and Assemblyman Brodsky, who's supposed to come on the show right afterwards from Westchester, a big opponent of congestion pricing, is starting to question him. And we're going to listen right now. Don't go away, but we're going to listen live right now to a little bit of that exchange as Brodsky questions Bloomberg.
Forum today.
David Gann, Chair of the Assembly Transportation Committee.
Thank you very much, Chairman Farrell.
All right. So that was maybe just a little introduction by Brodsky, and he'll get back for tougher, longer questioning later on in the morning. So, Catherine Wild, back to you. Brass tacks, what are the politics in the state legislature? Can this pass, and can this pass by the mid-August deadline that the federal government has set for the city to be eligible for that grant?
Well, I think the state legislature has, the leaders of both houses have said they are open, they have questions, and we've seen that most members, when you sit down and talk through with them the facts about congestion pricing, if their concerns can be answered, number one, will dollars be dedicated to transit and will it fill the gaps in their transit system? It's unfair for people who have no access to mass transit to be penalized. And so what we're having to do, and the city's identified 22 communities within the city and is discussing with the surrounding suburbs where there are gaps in the transit system that have to be filled. So that's concern number one, and I think we can resolve that issue. Number two, legislators representing communities surrounding the Central Business District, Long Island City, Williamsburg, Harlem, are asking, how do we avoid our neighborhood becoming a parking lot of all the people driving in from the suburbs and leaving their cars here because they don't want to pay the fee? The city is working on that. They're looking at residential parking permits, and in fact, that's part of the legislative package that has to be approved in Albany. I think if those two issues can be addressed, that everyone recognizes at this point that air pollution, global warming, asthma for kids, and the impact of traffic congestion on the economy is overwhelmingly a reason why New York City has to do something, and that congestion pricing is the only practical alternative for getting people to get out of their cars and to get into mass transit.
Let's take a phone call. Buzz in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Buzz.
Good morning. I've always been someone who doesn't want to have any cars in Manhattan at all. I mean, years ago, I remember there was a an idea somebody had, I think, during the Koch administration to have an auto-free zone, except for delivery vehicles and taxi cabs, in a square described like 59th Street to 14th and 3rd Avenue to 10th Avenue.
And what's your point about this?
Well, I think that something like that I wouldn't mind, but, you know, I think this really unfairly discriminates against entrepreneurs who don't have the wherewithal to support this tax, if you will.
Now, that's interesting that you ask about entrepreneurs. And, Catherine Wild, interesting that you support the business community and that the business community is for being charged more.
Well, we represent, to be fair, we represent mostly international business that has had experience with congestion charges in other cities around the world, in London and Stockholm, in Singapore, and they have had the opportunity to see that business improves when gridlock stops, delivery businesses can move, wholesale trade moves, more customers are patronizing local stores and restaurants. So in fact, people don't really calculate how much congestion costs them. We've done that, and that's how we came up with a $13 billion figure. And entrepreneurial small businesses tend to be affected most because their time is money. Their overhead on having a truck stuck in traffic waiting for deliveries. A good example is a florist with perishable goods that has to be able to rely on getting their goods out. The more business they can do, the better their revenues and the lower their costs. And traffic congestion is costing these businesses a lot.
So you think that small businesses would rather pay the $21 a day fee, and it's per day, not per trip, but $21 a day fee minus whatever tolls they pay on the way in, to have their trucks come into Manhattan in order to have the greater ease of getting around. That's your guess, that even small businesses would take that opportunity.
It's not that they would rather pay the fee. It's that they will, when they discover that by paying the fee, they are saving hundreds of dollars and hundreds of man hours and burning far less fuel, which is very expensive, the savings that they will realize by that $21 investment are significant.
But would they really save that much fuel? You know, one of Assemblyman Brodsky's point from a statement he gave us yesterday is that the impact on congestion would actually be slight, that the average speed for drivers in Manhattan would go from about 8 miles an hour to about 8.5. Have you seen those numbers?
That simply that's not accurate. We have the evidence on both on engineering projections for New York, but we have the evidence of what's happened, and the engineering estimates are significantly different. A 15% reduction in vehicles coming in during peak periods leads to an enormous increase in speed and reliability of traffic.
Now let's go live to that assembly hearing and listen to a little bit of the mayor.
This person advised me that there would be such a firestorm I would have to resign, that you could not stand the light of day. And quite the contrary, exactly the reverse has happened. I also want to say at the beginning that we don't have the only answers. There are alternatives. There are always going to be alternatives. I think the question is, what can we do now? Because we have a problem today. Our children in many areas in our city go to the hospital for asthma attacks 4 times the national average. Our economy is not what it could be. And all of the studies show that because a number of things are going right in the city, which maybe I had something to do with, maybe I just was lucky enough to be here at the right time. Nevertheless, the population of the city is going up dramatically, and we have to prepare ourselves for the future. And if we can't address your concerns, then you shouldn't vote for it. Let me also say at the beginning that what we're proposing are, in terms of congestion pricing at least, is a pilot project. And Chairman Brennan, I don't think we should bond out the revenues until we show that it works. We're never going to know until we try things whether they're going to work. The evidence is it has worked elsewhere, and it is probably the best, I believe, of the alternatives that we have to try.
Mayor Bloomberg testifying live before a state legislative committee. He's sitting, by the way, next to Deputy Mayor Dan Doctoroff and in front of a sea of people with green T-shirts. And I can't quite see on my monitor what it says on those green T-shirts, but obviously the color green is symbolic of what this is all about. And the mayor has come with a little army of New Yorkers in green T-shirts to support the congestion pricing idea. Catherine Wild from the Partnership for New York City. To get back to the question we were talking about just before the mayor, if Brodsky predicts that the average speed in Manhattan would only go from 8 miles an hour to 8.5 miles an hour, do you have another actual number?
We have the projections, yes, are 20% increase in speed if based on a 15% reduction in, and again, these are...
So Brodsky might say, well, that's still only 10 miles an hour.
I think it's 12 miles, but the international engineering and traffic economists have done these studies, and they've shown huge increases and improvements, which really make a difference. Plus, they've tested it, and there are reports coming out on a regular basis out of London as to the positive benefits for movement of vehicles throughout the city. One of the most important things is that the buses really begin to move so that people, as the Deputy Mayor of London said a few weeks ago when she was here, men in pinstripe suits are now riding buses. She quoted how Margaret Thatcher had once said that if you're over 30 and you take a bus, you're a loser in life, and that had been sort of the 20th century attitude. But because of global warming, because of what we're facing today in terms of the renaissance of cities and the congestion of cities, there's a different attitude, and we've got to find new patterns for transportation, and that's what this is about.
One other thing before you go, on one other issue, this grand bargain immigration bill, which has a time out right now in Congress, but is not dead. Again, you represent portions of the business community. We had Greg David, the editor of Crane's New York Business, the other week, and he said this bill would be bad for New York City because with the point system for permanent immigrants and the limited number of temporary guest workers, there would be a labor shortage in New York City if this bill passed. Is that your judgment, too?
We did not support this bill. We were not directly involved. We have been more enthusiastic about the STRIVE Act, the bill that Congressman Gutierrez has put forward. We think, though, that there needs to be more understanding of the role of business and the problems with temporary visas that businesses has. So there are a whole number of issues that affect the business community with regard to the shortage of workers. I agree with Greg on that, but also in just the difficulty of getting clients and business into the U.S. at this point.
All right, Catherine Wild, we're going to go back to the mayor, so I thank you very much. Catherine Wild, President and CEO of the Partnership for New York City. Always nice to have you.
Thanks, ma'am.
Let's listen to a little more of Mayor Bloomberg making the case for congestion pricing live before the state legislature.
Boards and columnists. I think none of us would have predicted that all of the major newspapers in the city have fundamentally come out as a big supporter of this. There are a couple that conventional wisdom is never would, but in fact they have. From every major transit advocacy and environmental organization and from a growing cohort of elected officials across our city. It has been, to just name a few, endorsed by the Association for a Better New York, ABNY, the Citizens Budget Commission, the General Contractors Association, the Drum Major Institute, which put out a report this morning that I would urge you all to read. I believe we have copies for everybody. The New York Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the West Harlem Action for Environmental Justice, New York City Central Labor Council, the Buildings and Trades and Construction Trades Council, a local 32BJ of the Service Employees International.
So Mayor Bloomberg going down some of the not surprising, some of the more surprising, like I guess the New York Post editorial page, coming out in favor of this. The Drum Major Institute, which he just referred to, is a think tank that focuses on the working and middle classes. And one of the objections to the bill by some people is that this would be class discriminatory because working class folks, lower middle class folks, couldn't afford the $8 fee as well as richer folk who might then just relatively cruise around town with all the little people not having to bother them in their cars. So that's an interesting endorsement from the Drum Major Institute or pro-congestion pricing report that the mayor referred to. But we will speak to an opponent of congestion pricing, Richard Brodsky, or his chief of staff, depending who can make it out of that hearing to the phone, coming up in a minute.
Everybody in Albany is asking the right questions, approaching this with goodwill. Many people have already articulated support. Some are saying we need to know more. Some are saying I'm a little hesitant, and we will try to be persuasive.
Governor Spitzer, the always persuasive, from his joint appearance with Mayor Bloomberg yesterday endorsing the congestion pricing plan. Again, that's an $8 a day charge for cars entering Manhattan below 86th Street, $21 for trucks, minus the cost of any tolls on the way in. The mayor is still testifying before a state legislative committee on this right now. Maybe we'll go back to it again. But there is opposition. As we speak, we know that a lot of people in all of the four other boroughs don't like the idea, although a recent poll indicated more support than opposition. People in the suburban counties, to some degree, are skeptical. Interestingly, on our phone bank of our 10 lines, despite a lot of environmentalists, a lot of people concerned with climate change or global warming in our listenership, we have more calls at the moment against than for. That's not a poll. That just might represent who has the most passion to call in for it right now, those who are afraid of it for their own businesses or their own pocketbooks. And joining me now is an opponent of the congestion pricing plan as proposed, Kelly McMillan, chief of staff to Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, Democrat from Westchester, who's going to be one of the main questioners at that hearing in Albany. Ms. McMillan, thanks a lot for coming on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Why is the Assemblyman opposed?
Well, there are two reasons. One is philosophical. He is always, and actually since 1995, has legislation that he's introduced prohibiting congestion pricing in the state of New York. And that was on philosophical grounds. It's about setting a precedent of taking a public right and making it available by ability to afford. I mean, when you start that process, who knows what happens on a beautiful Saturday in June when Central Park is overflowing? Do all of a sudden they put a $10 fee on access to Central Park?
It's not access to Midtown below 86th Street. It's access by car.
It's access by car, right. But what was a public right is now being charged, and that becomes an income-based ability to pay.
Are there any tolls in Westchester?
There are tolls in Westchester. There are tolls now on the New York State Thruway in Westchester. But keeping in mind, when you actually look at how the impacts of this will be implemented, there's, for Westchester residents where he represents, there will basically be no deterrent. Most of his constituents who come into Manhattan during that period come down over the Triborough Bridge from the thruway. And what happens with this proposal is your tolls are offset by the congestion pricing. So if you take the Triborough, you're already paying the $4 each way. Therefore, there is no additional incentive to stay off the streets. You're not being charged anything more.
Well, I think that only the $4 that you pay on the way in applies to the $8. Am I wrong?
That's not my understanding. But there are a lot of details of that sort, which is part of the issue that we're having this hearing to flesh out answers on.
Mm-hmm.
We were given this legislative package from the mayor's office, or proposal, not even legislative package, about 2 weeks ago, and have only seen actual bill drafting legislation 2 days ago. So, and there are still a lot of details not in that legislation, such as what the actual boundaries will be. Those are still hypotheticals. People are talking as if they're real, but we don't know that yet. It's not in writing yet. But there's the other philosophical issue on privacy with these cameras all over the city that will be taking pictures of people engaged in legal activity. And, I mean, people...
Because that's part of the... For people who don't know, that's part of the enforcement mechanism. They're not going to put up physical tolls every place that you could enter Manhattan below 86th Street. There are going to be hundreds of cameras that are going to pick up people's driver's licenses. The license plates of the cars and figure out who those cars are registered to and send a bill, right?
That's correct. And there'll be hundreds, thousands. We're not even sure how many, and we're not sure where they'll be exactly, but the theory being that every port of entry into the city, so every street coming off the FDR, off the west side that puts you into the zone, you'll go through a camera. Now, that also raises issues of what happens if you're living on the boundary for alternate side parking. Are you charged every time you have to go around the corner? I mean, there are a whole lot of smaller issues attached to that. But the big issue on the privacy, while they're putting forth this plan, there's no privacy policy guarantees that the information and data pulled from these cameras won't be used for other purposes, marketed to other areas. If George Bush, the president, came in and said, I'm putting 1,000 cameras on the streets of New York City to monitor the movement of New York citizens and legal activity, the people would be rioting in the streets. But somehow, everyone is overlooking this in the veneer of good for the environment. Now, this package has lots of environmental parts to it that are separate entirely from congestion pricing.
And you can support those without this.
Sure.
Let me jump in for a second, because the mayor is starting to describe in this hearing how this would work, some of the nuts and bolts. Let's listen to a little bit live.
Great.
To make the total cost for somebody that has to pay or chooses to pay on a bridge and pay this fee, you don't want it to be so onerous that we're dissuading them from coming here to do business or to go shopping. So, for example, if you drive in and out of Manhattan by way of the Midtown Tunnel, you currently pay $8 round trip. Congestion pricing would add nothing to that commuter's cost because the $8 of tolls would offset the $8 in congestion charges. There would also be no fee at all for either using the FDR or the West Side Highway, so that you can come in from Brooklyn and Staten Island and go to Queens or up to the Bronx or another county without paying anything, because you're not contributing to the congestion in Midtown. So we think that that will encourage people or discourage people from using the cars, but only those where it would make a significant difference in our congestion. Taxi cabs we would exempt. Taxi cabs, while they'd be better off taking a bus on a subway, from a practical point of view, we need taxi cabs, but they are vehicles that are used continuously during the day and not just coming in, creating traffic at rush hour and then using up a parking place. And those who travel only within the congestion pricing zone would pay half price. And, of course, we would have a procedure so that if you had to move your car for alternate side of the street parking, which we have in the city so we can clean the streets, there would not be a charge for doing so. I must admit that when we began the PlanYC process, I was skeptical about congestion pricing. I wasn't sure that it would work, and I didn't think that politically it was a starter. I didn't think you would have broad support. But if you listen to people and look at what...
And the mayor is going back into how much broad support it has, which we've heard a couple of times already this hour as we've been dipping in and out of the live hearing before members of the state legislature. And we have a few more minutes with Kelly McMillan, chief of staff to Assemblyman Richard Brodsky of Westchester, one of the chief opponents of congestion pricing, and he will be questioning the mayor there in a little while. Coming up in 5 minutes, by the way, we will have a call in. Your predictions for how The Sopranos will end on Sunday. But right now I'm getting a glimpse of the backs of some of the supporters of the mayor who I mentioned came in green T-shirts to this hearing and are sitting behind him in the hearing room. And the backs of those T-shirts say, one less car. Kelly McMillan, Brodsky, your boss, Assemblyman Brodsky, obviously in the Assembly, and one of the other skeptics so far is the Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver, who actually represents Lower Manhattan, which is in the congestion pricing zone. Why do you think Silver is not supporting this yet as being in the interests, at least, of his own constituents?
Well, like I said, there's still so many unanswered questions in this legislative package. Like the mayor, we just heard say that there'd be a mechanism set up so you wouldn't be charged for alternate side parking. Now, we don't know what that mechanism is. We don't know how it would be implemented, how you would know if a car was parked there and was moving to go around a corner, or how a car was parked there to go and drive through the city. I mean, very hard to do. So, I mean, there's a lot of devil in the details stuff here. But a very important point to get back to, I was listening to part of Catherine Wild's testimony, and she was disputing the current 8 mile per hour speed within the zone that exists now that will be brought up after all this is said and done. $230 million in startup costs, set the cameras up, everything else, $200 to $300 million a year to operate the system, thousands of cameras everywhere, change in all sorts of social and economic structures in New York for an increase from 8 miles per hour to 8.6 miles per hour. Now, she was disputing those numbers, but just to be very clear, those are the numbers that the city provided us in their proposal and technical reports on what the impacts of this plan would do. So these aren't Assemblyman Brodsky's mm-hmm. numbers. These are what the city gave us saying it would do.
Let's take a phone call from a small business owner in the zone, in fact, in Silver's district, probably on the Lower East Side, a small business owner who's against it, apparently. Jan, on the Lower East Side, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have to say that this whole idea about congestion pricing is very hypocritical from the city's point of view, because they have not addressed the placard parking that they're giving out free to government workers, workers that work for the city. No one has talked about whether or not they're going to be exempt.
All right, now that's I know that's an issue that comes up, whether or not we're talking about congestion pricing. Jan, is it just that, or do you have a business that you think would be adversely affected?
Well, my business is already being affected because the mayor is continuing to give out placards to numbers of different agencies, some of which are not even supposed to have them. And my business, when Catherine Wild was talking about trucks going around and around in circles, my business is directly affected because of that. I can't get my trucks to make the deliveries because there's people parked where they're not supposed to be.
Jan, thank you very much. Here's a musician against it from Mount Vernon. Jeff, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, I have to drive into the city almost daily carrying my double bass and my amplifier in my minivan, and I wish I could take public transportation, but it's just too much to carry.
You don't have one of those double bass and amplifier backpacks?
No, I wish I did. Everything rolls, but I can't roll it from Mount Vernon. I can get it into the city, but then I roll it from there.
Uh-huh.
I think they should. I feel like this proposal is being proposed by people that don't drive in the city, because if they did, they would concern themselves more with enforcing the traffic rules against, you know, the taxis, the delivery trucks that cavalierly will just double park on each side of the street and block two lanes of traffic. It happens all the time, and it seems like there's no enforcement of just the basic traffic rules.
Jeff, thank you very much. Here's Josh in Washington Heights, also opposed. Josh, real quick.
Hi. Yeah, we're in a position where we don't pay tolls to go into the city because we live in Manhattan, so we wouldn't have anything offset. We would just be paying the premium to go into the busy zone.
Right. Even within Manhattan, once you got below 86th Street, you'd have, it might be less for you because you're already in Manhattan, but it would be something.
Well, I want to make sure someone's looking out for us, because then we'd essentially be subsidizing greater traffic in our neighborhood of people coming off the bridge and so forth.
Thank you very much. Kelly McMillan, before you go, Kelly McMillan, Chief of Staff to Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, is there anything that the mayor could put on the table to make this more palatable or palatable enough that they might get Brodsky's vote?
Well, yes, because, I mean, there's no question about the problem needs to be addressed. But the mayor came out initially saying this was a proposal to begin the discussions, and no other alternatives have been talked about. There's a system called congestion rationing, in which it's not based on income, and you actually, other cities around the world have done this, where license plates, odd and even, have certain days they can come in and they can't, so people can plan and they can schedule around that. That would require more police on the streets to enforce, which has the second benefits of actually having more police on the streets, and won't cost the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to start up and operate the system. In fact, the real people being hit by this are Queens and Brooklyn, who now come in for free over the East River bridges. Nobody's discussing putting tolls on the East River bridges, which would really solve a lot of the problems of A, limiting traffic, B, raising revenues, and 3, making an equitable distribution.
But now you're just fighting for the interests of your Westchester folks, right? Because that would only single out a sort of commuter tax on people in Queens and Brooklyn.
No, I'm just throwing out, there are suggestions of things that could be done. I mean, there are making access into the city equitable everywhere, not just for people from certain areas. I mean, these are just things that should be looked at and haven't been discussed in this process.
And that's where we have to leave it. Kelly McMillan, Chief of Staff for Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, grilling the mayor at the legislative hearing on congestion pricing this morning. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, your predictions on how The Sopranos will end. Stay with us.